Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. And you listeners right now can go to CasperTrial.com/LaserTime to get $50 towards any new mattress.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we've been called distasteful and puerile by a panel of hillbillies. I'm your host, panicky idiot Bob Mackey, and this is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons, and who is here with me today?
Transparent toady, Chris Antista.
Henry Gilbert, and unlimited love to y'all.
Aww. And today's episode is Whacking Day. Whacking
I am Day. Evil Homer! I am evil Homer! I am evil Homer! I am evil Homer!
It's lovely.
This evil Homer finally killed good Homer. Yes, sir.
What a great episode.
Yes. So this episode aired on April 29th, 1993. And Chris, tell us what happened on this mythical day in history.
Bobby, on the lighter side of things, David Koresh and 85 other people are dead after a holier-than-thou standoff. Home Improvement tops the TV ratings, and guess what? Best of all, the Lollapalooza bill has been announced. Arrested Development, Alice in Chains, Fishbone, Front 242, Primus, and Rage Against the Machine will be touring around the country this summer.
Wow. Mm.
I was too young for that. I'm sorry.
I didn't know who David Koresh was as a kid either. I did know they did a Making Copies joke. They did a Making Copies joke where the guy was staying in Koresh's place in SNL, didn't they?
I'm sure they did. And I mean, I don't mean to side with a cult leader with child brides or anything, but what happened to that situation was incredibly fucked up. Yep. And you should really read up on it to realize how our government failed and Janet Reno still got to keep her job.
Mm. Yeah.
Really messed up.
That's a libtard being...
Wait, what?
Libtard being combative towards another Democrat.
Love
is
love.
You can do that.
So today's episode is Whacking Day, and I want to say this was an idea by George Meyer. The episode is written by John Swartzwelder, but Whacking Day is a real thing.
What?
It's a parody of the Rattlesnake Roundup in Sweetwater, Texas, and the snakes are not clubbed. They are rounded up and burned alive.
Holy shit.
And it still happens, and I believe there are other sorts of Whacking Days where snakes are killed in different ways, but in the Sweetwater, Texas one, which George Meyer was writing about, they are burned alive. And this episode won a Genesis Award for, showcasing the cruelty to animals that happens every day.
Yeah.
And I'm a vegetarian, by the way, so I am standing above all of you on my moral high ground.
It's still happening, though. I mean, Texas ain't going to change. I mean,
yeah.
Isn't there still that place called N-Word Head in
Rick Perry's
Perry's Ranch?
Yes.
We are a bunch of doily wiping liberal city folk. But
I've got to change my dress.
Yeah, from the South, there are a bunch of rituals that involve animal killing. Some of the ones I remember are reduced, like they're built to reduce populations of certain things. And I don't know, as someone who doesn't like needless killing of animals, where to stand on that?
Well, I would say once lynching got outlawed, they had to have an outlet somewhere.
Got to call those poor deer.
I was born in Arkansas, so I can make fun of the South, all right?
And I wasn't, but I still can. But they do this in Australia, too, with cane toads, because they are an invasive species. They don't belong there. They were put there to destroy another species.
Dropped off by Bart.
In 94, that's what happened. But
it's sort of my dad's gig that it's to not make another species invasive.
Yeah.
They do go on ritualistic killings of alligator and deer in Florida.
Frogs, though, they're killed humanely by, like, gassing them. Mm. So they're not being burned alive, for Christ's sake. Come on, people.
Get to watch their favorite movie.
Yeah.
So after whining about the last two episodes, this episode was like a breath of fresh air. I was like, this is as good as I remember it. This is classic John Swartzwelder.
I have no great anecdote. This is a terrible anecdote, but I loved buying Simpsons episodes on Amazon Video Service. And they had the first three seasons, 1, 2, and 3. And that's it. Not even like jumping to 20 like iTunes.
Wow.
They had only those except for packages. One is called Homer Knows Best. There's Halloween packages, and one called Kiss Me, I'm Irish. And I bought Sight Unseen. It's one of three packages with Simpsons episodes. One of three, and it's I'm like, this has Whacking Day in it. But I don't even need to look at what else it is. I want Whacking Day, because they don't have season four.
This episode, number one, Skinner could be my favorite character of all time, because writing a boring character...
Dude.
You have to try much harder to make a boring character funny. Like, Hank Hill is a great character because he's boring, and the jokes come out of his boringness. But this and him playing off of Chalmers is just peak Skinner.
So good.
So great. So it starts with a surprise school inspection, right?
The light intro.
Children, we've just been tipped off that Superintendent Chalmers is planning a surprise inspection. So let's clean up this pigsty. On another topic, the following students have won mountain bikes. Bart Simpson. Jimbo Jones. Nelson Munt.
I'm glad I never had leaves stuffed in my shirt by a bully.
I love Skinner so much in this intro, and almost every second of it is some of the best written dialogue, some of the best clips we'll have that work very well.
The best improv-y dialogue in the same room, same actors. Yeah.
Not to say it again, very Family Guy, because they do kind of relish the moments. Awkward moments and pauses.
Like talking over each other, things like that. And this establishes Skinner's contentious relationship with Willie very well. Before this, they had, I don't know what the relationship was, but here it's like Skinner disrespects him.
Yeah.
He patronizes him, but really Willie is in charge the whole time, and he's just like talking back to him.
But the Chalmers thing, like Skinner's already a great character, but giving him an authority figure, like he is Bart's ultimate authority figure, and giving Skinner an ultimate authority figure is so interesting.
Watching Skinner squirm is so great, because he's such an ineffectual idiot.
He didn't have one until Super Nintendo Chalmers.
And
he was named by Wally Walidarsky. How he got his name. Chalmers is just so great.
And he's like, there should be a Superintendent Chalmers. And they're like, that's a funny name.
And then he is the sane man in the madhouse. Like he is a normal-ish guy, aggressively normal. And it's also why Oakley and Weinstein especially love Chalmers.
Yes.
There are a ton... They pretty much do a sequel to this in their 100th episode of Chalmers coming
in. Aurora Borealis, localized entirely within your kids.
One of the best, 5 minutes of Simpsons. But I feel like you're right, Henry. Like, watching this again, I'm like, I really get the high concept joke they're going for here, where it's like the angry boss or the mean boss is such a hoary old sitcom cliche.
Yes.
And in this world, he is the most dry and blunt character. And we're in a sitcom, but he reacts to sitcom lines like, that was a weird thing to say. Like, he does not act like a sitcom character at all.
So much of this.
Yeah.
Superintendent Chalmers, welcome.
Hello, Seymour.
So, what's the word down at One School Board Plaza?
We're dropping the geography requirement. The children weren't testing well. It was proving to be an embarrassment.
Very good. Back to the 3 R's.
2 R's come October.
But yeah, I mean, sitcoms...
That is how modern testing works, though.
It really is. Yeah. But I mean, sitcoms from this era, if you watch them like Full House and Family Ties, like characters will say incredibly mean or stupid things, but no one will react because it's a joke. They just, the character says something and everything moves on. But in this reality, Chalmers questions every stupid thing Skinner says. Like, the show freezes and he has to explain himself and he digs himself deeper.
The show lingers on moments that I don't feel like it normally does. And I've only seen it do it with this, the repartee between Chalmers and Skinner.
It's so great.
48, 49, 50. Flags up to date. Very good, Seymour. Now, are these children as smart as they look?
Well, let's pick one at random. How about that one?
You mean this boy here?
No, no, Lisa Simpson.
No. When was the Battle of New Orleans?
January 8th, 1815, 2 weeks after the war ended.
First rate.
What's a battle?
Let's go.
Did that boy say what's a battle?
No, he said what's that rattle? It's about the heating duct.
It sounded like battle.
I've had a cold, so I...
Oh, so you hear ours as bees?
Yes. I understand.
So I feel like any other shitty sitcom would end the scene at, no, he was saying, what's that rattle? And they would move on to the next scene, but he's like, no, explain yourself. Yeah. What did you mean by that?
I would say even The Simpsons would normally move on from that.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, they do the same sitcom
there
things,
is
but yeah.
Super rare crosstalk between the, like, you hear Skinner go, in between them talking. And
so you hear ours is bees.
I feel like you never hear Azaria and Shearer bouncing off each other like that. You're more used to hearing, like, I do think some of the Rick and Marty. Rick and Marty.
That's the original show.
Doc and Marty.
No, the guys on the radio. Bill and Marty.
Bill and Marty,
when they're on the when they're on the radio together, I do think sometimes that's Dan and Shearer bouncing off each other, but it's rare to see Azaria and Shearer.
Yeah. It's great that, like, young Hank Azaria is old Harry Shearer's boss in this. Putting him in his place, like the youngest member of the crew.
Meanwhile, Bart is locked up in the mountain bike strip, which is a pretty smart trick by Skinner.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I did not remember Willie saying, tear you a new arse. Because, like, that's just because he says arse, like, that still seems too dirty for TV. And
I think that's probably how they got it by.
It's a pretty bad deal for Bart that he's surrounded by his four bullies. It's Bart and his four bullies. And so it's just like, these are the bullies. And then also Bart, who is not a bully, but is a troublemaker.
And Marge is established as small, a perfect target, and now locked in a room to keep all the bullies out of the view of Superintendent Chalmers.
Nelson punches that wall so much.
One more Chalmers clip.
It hurt. Oh.
Excellent. Not a trace of urine. Seymour, you're on a tight ship.
Well, you know what they say, sir. Where there's no smoke, there's no fire.
What an odd remark.
I laughed my ass off. Even 20-some years later, what an odd remark. Yeah,
that's the
line of the show.
I don't know if someone wrote that, but it's just the best. What an odd remark.
And then at that point, Bart escapes the room and gets on a tractor.
We got to see the first time, I think the only time in the entire show, Willie has had sex.
And
well,
okay.
I assume he had sex.
I think we all agree Lurleen Lumpkin was the hottest Simpsons babe.
Yes.
But Willie's one-time girlfriend might take her place, I think, for me at least.
Her or Miss Springfield, I'm feeling very vanilla.
But yeah, she's a sexy bairn.
Mm. Yeah.
But that she pulls him away to wash her hair in his swimming pool. But we got him! I like that line. And then, when Bart gets on that tractor, it is the cartooniest moment in forever.
Well,
the way the tractor pulls back.
To that hot rod. I thought one of you would come to the table, but I didn't look it up.
He's insulting both of us.
A very famous drawing, I can't remember what it is. God damn it, why even bring it up? The thing with a giant green skull head with the pulling.
It does. It does look.
It's
like
very
one of
specific
those,
to like something you associate. I would say for my generation, Rob Zombie, but I'm pretty sure
like
it predates.
An Ed Roth. Is that the artist?
I think it's super specific
that.
To another.
I just think of
artist.
Like Spencer's Gifts, Spencer's Gifts are headshots,
or like fucking mud flaps in the '70s, like.
But still, I'm surprised Groening was like, no, this is too silly.
It was a little sexual too, because he's like, come on, Bart, ride me.
That's true.
Yeah, I love the way it taunts him at the end and just falls off.
So then Bart slams into Chalmers' ass.
Difficult to understand what happened there. Did Bart really run over the superintendent with a high grade tractor?
I think he plowed into his ass.
It's the only part that seems to be bad, like, which does it. Yeah, the tractor would have just crushed and killed him. It would not have smashed his ass.
I like how even in pain he's low-key, he's like, ow, ow, ow.
I also like it. So the 50-cent piece is stuck between two plates of bread.
Oh, right. And again, another shot of a beautiful ass for Bart to attack.
True. Another
just like when he threw the tomato at Skinner's ass.
Yeah, but this
tantalizing
time,
anus.
But this time there are repercussions for that, unlike when he hit Skinner's
ass. Hey, I dare you to see that ass in a nightclub and not run a tractor. It's impossible.
It's new slang.
It's it. But we get introduced to Whacking Day, and I didn't grab the clip, but I wanted to point it out because I am thorough in my research. Mm-hmm. That the Ion Springfield portion that introduces to Whacking Day goes through not only a nudist camp for animals, but
they blur out the animals' like bottom halves. Right,
good.
Yeah. Oh wait, but I did love the. Okay, if we're going past, I thought we had a clip of it. Just him saying like. But sir, he's a drunk and a pill popper. Yes. And then he even says dough, which is like, well, that's weird that you get to say dough. And Doris growls.
Oh, yes. Come I back should up. Probably play that Bart, because of that act, is expelled.
There's no detention this time, Simpson. This is the end. You are expelled from Springfield Elementary.
I love when Skinner can be imposing. Like, the camera is pointing up at him. He's just, like, marching towards Bart as this huge authority figure. Yeah.
And as someone who had a lot of problems in school and really, really relished the suspension. Hey, you hate school and you're misbehaving. We're going to punish you by giving you less school. Thank you. Thank you every time. But as anti-authority as I was, like, the thought of, like, canceling school for me was very terrifying, because I was always on the brink of, like, real expulsion. Got expelled eventually from 5 schools.
Wow, but, I was a good boy.
Well, I mean, but, like, no fighting and no hitting a teacher in the ass. We've gone through that before. Just me being like, I don't want to do anything.
A lot of fires, Chris.
No fires. Just being an awful, like, hey, guess what, guys? We don't have to do any work. We're going to see you in the last day if we just do this.
Turning your desks around at the same time.
That kind of shit. class clown, little... I don't know, a little too anti-authority.
So that Munchkin Graveyard joke.
That's
is,
the one that Ion Springfield brought up. Where are all the Munchkins from Wizard of Oz? And they just show a graveyard. Like, there were so many Munchkins still alive.
They really were.
It's more of a joke for today, I think.
No, the last member of the Lollipop Guild, Jerry Marin, is very much alive at the age of 96.
R2-D2 died this year, though,
right? He did. We lost Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker, yeah.
Yeah, but he was never in that.
I know, but I'm talking about the death of little people.
Little people never really lived that long, so that is a feat.
In my area in Jacksonville, Florida, I knew of a Munchkin who was not yet dead. It was the one who unrolls the scroll and reads something off that he was there, and he was famous for drunk driving.
If you dare to go through it, there is a Wizard of Oz wiki that shows the age and date and death range of all the Munchkins.
Wow.
But in terms of the ones, like, Jerry Marin had a line. He's the middle Lollipop Guild guy, and he is still with us. Right now, as of this recording,
because
1993, remember, they would, like, tour radio shows and, like, Today Show. There'd be, like, 7 Munchkins.
Now. You realize that, right?
Oh, he's going to die before
he's
this recording.
He's a real Gordy Howe.
Know it.
But then the introduction of Whacking Day.
Whacking Day from Ion Springfield.
But first, we'll look at the local holiday that was called distasteful and puerile by a panel of hillbillies. Whacking Day.
Oh, no!
In a tradition that dates back to founding father Jebediah Springfield, every May 10th, local residents gather to drive snakes into the center of town and whack them to snake heaven.
So it's an interesting mix where you have George Meyer and John Swartzwelder are, like, both the fathers of this episode.
They really are, yeah.
And they're also good friends, or at least, like, they've worked together a ton. Mm-hmm. They worked together on SNL. They worked together on Army Man. Then they got hired at the same time on Simpsons. They're good buddies. But George Meyer seems to be, like, an extreme lefty, while Swartzwelder is, like, a libertarian right-wing guy, according to most of the reports about him. So you have this lefty ideal of anti-animal cruelty written by a guy who loves jokes about hillbillies and guns.
Yes.
So that's how you get jokes about a panel of hillbillies hating Whacking Day.
And they were worried about this looking good, like a good thing to do. So they really take a lot of steps to make sure that, like, no, this is a bad thing. Like, the line about it being distasteful and puerile to a panel of hillbillies, like, right away they're underlying, like, this is stupid. Even hillbillies realize this.
I mean, there's a ton of old traditions in my hometown, but nothing this weird.
There's also a reference.
Brutal.
Oh, yeah.
The Nixon reference in there I never got until this time.
Me neither. Please explain.
Alger Hiss. So Nixon wasn't the ringleader of the communist blacklist and the search for communists, but he was a senator at that time and was big.
I just
part
reaped
of it.
The benefits.
But he was a big part of it, and one of them was trying to prove Alger Hiss enemy of his, a political enemy.
He helped start the UN, if you want to know, like, how kind of important he was.
I really thought that was a joke based on his last name sounding like Hiss.
I mean, it was, but that was his real last name. Oh, yeah,
it was his real
it's
last
like, here's name. Here's another deadly Hiss, is what the joke
and
is.
So
yeah.
he tried to destroy him, and so it was a great joke about one of Nixon's political enemies, of which he had many. I feel like Trump's going to have a way longer list.
What was Nixon's line in this? It was great. I totally forget what it was.
This would have been the show to do it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I'm not dead yet.
I was too busy capturing this clip of Bart telling Homer he got expelled.
Hey, kids. How was school?
I learned how many drams in a penny weight.
I got expelled.
That's my boy.
Beer.
What?
Dad, I don't need school. I'll make my way as a bootblack. Shine your boots, Governor.
No son of mine is going to be a 19th century cockney bootblack. We're going to find you another school.
So, Drams and a Pennyweight, I never got that. Like, I didn't learn that in school. That feels like it feels like 70s metric
system. Yeah, that feels like something you learn in a cereal box.
I think the joke is Lisa is proving how pointless school is for her, but Bart's like, I got kicked out. What?
And actually, as people pointed out online, Drams and a Pennyweight is actually wrong because there aren't more than one dram in a Pennyweight. A Pennyweight has 0.877712 drams. So... that's how many drams are in a pennyweight, less than one. Lisa is grammatically incorrect there.
But they send Bart to Catholic school, which costs money. Yeah. So, like, the Simpsons are willing to shell out to send Bart to...
It's a hardcore Christian school. It wasn't any denomination.
Oh, I thought it was Catholic. I went to Catholic school, so it seemed familiar to me.
Yeah, I think you were projecting. But
a lot about Psalms there, Bob.
But the Flanderses weren't there, though, which is weird. I thought that was strange that they didn't go there. It also feels like, though, that should have been a runner. That should have been him going to, like, two or three different schools.
It really should have. They tried one, and that was it.
And then Bart's like, I give up on schools. Like, I wonder if there was... It feels like something's missing there.
I bet there were cutscenes.
As someone who got expelled from a couple of schools, like, in a... mildly small town, there are a lot of free options after getting expelled. It was the alternative school, the adult education program, where people usually go to get their GED, but you can still go to school there. There was a lot of options for me before the one private school I had to end up graduating from. My poor parents.
As a youngster who didn't get references to Richard Nixon and the Blacklist, which, by the way, listen to the You Must Remember This podcast on
so
the Blacklist.
Oh, so great. Yeah, you'll hate everybody.
But if you were a kid who didn't know what that was, you immediately knew when Bart mentioned beans, musical fruit. Like, that was the one for the kids to go like, I know what he's going to say.
I remember that bringing me back in.
We have another Bart fantasy of him dreaming of a dark future where he's tasting food additives.
And
we
get
the immortal line, pleasant taste, some monsterism.
As he hulks out.
And then he thinks it's cool. He's like, cool. Classic Bart loving his doomed future.
I got the one right after because Lisa gets to express her opinions about Whacking Day.
You're going to get an education. I'm going to teach you myself.
Marge, it's too late. The boy's 10 years old. Let's focus our energy on Lisa and the other one. What's your problem?
Stitch face.
Whacking Day's coming.
Woohoo! The greatest day of the year.
But killing snakes is evil.
Maybe so, Lisa. But it's part of our oh-so-human nature. Inside every man is a struggle between good and evil that cannot be resolved. I am evil Homer! I am evil Homer! I am evil Homer! I am evil Homer!
I like the clip. That scene cuts off with just Lisa... looking like she's responding to his fantasy.
Yeah, that is a weird cut to her face. I think a lot of people have only evil Homer in them and pretend they're having a battle between those two sides.
There's a certain group of people who want to elevate evil Homer as part of something that should be part of the way you are. The point is to have both.
I think this is kind of for unintentional foreshadowing to the jerk-ass Homer that we will get to know in later ones. Though, really, season 5 Homer is a mean person.
He has no redemptive arc here. None.
Homer's a little better in other episodes in season 4, but in this he's like, Homer never really learns anything.
I like the way it goes, though.
We hear about some very, very dark Homer moments, too, that we don't see, thank God.
Another instance of Grandpa dressing in drag, which doesn't play well in audio. It probably does deserve...
He says, I did wear a dress for a period in the 40s. So a lot of these jokes at this time, it's like, what if this character was gay or a transvestite? Like, I feel like that's just sort of the joke
they're
going for.
It's very funny to think that, isn't it?
Like, but I do like seeing, like, there's a much larger story that is probably made up by Grandpa of him infiltrating some Nazi bar, dressing up like a woman. Like, how did he escape that? And
he's singing a Germanized version of "Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey."
Well, first off, I love that joke about Marge and the bell. Like, Marge got the bell. Yes. Like, I bought a bell.
A very cute Marge thing to do. Yeah,
Marge got some good stuff.
But
in
she bought
episode.
Like the industrial real school bell. If you've never stood right next to one, they're horrifying. Man.
And then Marge is great at writing with the chalk. It's very like straight and. That she has that cat clock that my mom owns that very
I've been dying to buy that. It's called the Kit Kat clock.
I have the Garfield variation of it.
Of course you do.
Grandpa says, Grandpa's hello, children was great. I love that. Hello, children. And him remembering World War II is weird because he as is proven fact in the world of The Simpsons later, he was in there. World War II and a decorated officer, like basically Sergeant Rock.
He fought with Mr. Burns and Skinner's dad and Barney's dad.
And,
yeah.
But in this one, he's remembering his life as like cabaret. It then becomes a cabaret joke, which Himmler, I think that's Himmler, or Goebbels at the table with
There are like characters of Nazi officials. I think it is Goebbels and, Himmler maybe.
But so... I mean, Hitler looks cartoonish in the way that you say he would have been drawn in Looney Tunes or Disney back in the time. But Himmler is like, he is total, like he is a real character of the character. Yeah. He is an unmoving drawing.
They're great drawings.
Yeah, too. I got to retract. Give best line of the show to Hitler in this after it's revealed grandfather is
giving
a rest.
Shout out to Hitler.
That's the joke.
Ach du lieber, das ist not eine Bubi.
Is that story true, Grandpa?
Well, most of it. I did wear a dress for a period in the 40s. Oh, they had designers then. So,
essentially, just Grandpa was wearing women's clothing. This did not happen.
That's the cutaway to a joke where Homer constantly drives back into the garage that Bart is getting homeschooled in, which is great. Great piece of animation.
The second time it happens, he's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But so the song they sang... Mm-hmm. It had been pitched by Conan that he was going to sing the falling in love again, never
is
wanted
that
to.
Marlene Dietrich?
Yes, yeah. as famously done by her.
Quite the sex pot.
You boys in your show too.
And they couldn't get the license to it because the people who owned it were like, you're going to make a Nazi joke. No.
It's like, I think it was more like everyone makes fun of this, so we don't want you to make fun of it.
True.
Yeah.
And they reference its use in a Volkswagen commercial that showed.
Yeah.
That was very, like, when I think about it, they pointed out in the commentary, they used the song through, like, all the years of Volkswagen. They're like, here it is being invented in 1910. Here's a race in 1920. 1950! Like, yeah, the Volkswagen.
Let's skip this decade.
but it's just a minor variation on a real song. I heard it a ton on Looney Tunes, and I think Robert Klein's Butterfly in The Last Unicorn sings the song as well.
I know so many 30s and 40s pop hits because of Looney Tunes. Like, I'm just wild about Harry.
It's bizarre. Looney Tunes were invented as essentially a vessel for the Warner Music catalog.
That's why they're merry melodies, right?
Yeah, that's why they exist.
So we get Homer's sexualized whacking, where the first scene is him like pulling it out of his sheath like it's a penis.
Yeah.
He's like, whack, 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 whack. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah.
I like that Marge is turned on by Homer. I think I like those jokes more than like,
now?
Oh, Homer's disgusting. Instead that Marge is like...
She's turned on by the whacking.
This is the dirtiest
this
fucking
quite
joke.
Dirty.
I remember never got it.
My parents were laughing like crazy at this. And I was like, it's funny that he's being violent, but what are you talking
this
about?
This is the dirtiest thing on television in 1993, period. Like
that first shot of the whacking stick coming out of the sheath is just like, that's a penis. That's a penis.
Well, Marge, should I whack slow or fast?
Oh, God.
Slow, then fast.
That is the best guideline to real sex that you have ever
now
had.
That I've had sex, this makes so much sense.
We've all done it.
Right. I mean, not
as a true sex haver, I must say.
Not this decade, but...
The Simpsons will be right back.
I hope you're well rested, because if you're not, oh man, this is going to be the perfect sponsor for today. Casper Mattresses. Yes, Casper Mattresses, baby. Offering you one hell of a sleep experience for an outrageously reduced cost. And even better than that, if you go to CasperTrial.com/LaserTime, you can get $50 towards any mattress that you want right now. And when I say any mattress, I mean from Twin to California King. And if you don't know what Casper Mattresses are, they are mattresses that combine high-density memory foam and premium latex to create a sleep surface that contours to your body and keeps you cool and balanced through the night. Casper's dug deep into the science of sleep, and they're trying to offer you a better mattress at a much better cost. And one of the ways Casper has cut out the cost is by not having stores throughout the entire country. Instead, they ship the mattress right to you. As a result, Casper mattresses are up to a quarter of the price that you'll find in most big box stores, and even better than that, and if you have any reservations of a mattress being shipped to your house, Casper knows that, and that's why they've provided you with a 100-night risk-free trial. You don't like the Casper mattress? Give them a call. They'll come pick it up for you, get rid of it, and give you a full refund. If you're in the market for a new mattress, please consider Casper. And even better, go to CasperTrial.com/LaserTime to get $50 towards any new mattress. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on Patreon.com/LaserTime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
It was awful. Nice. Just reading about like the 1%, like they'll save potentially $33,000 a year with these tax cuts. And like, if you're in the upper 1%, you can't give $33,000 a year to make everybody have health care.
I won't make
$33,000. Go fuck
this
yourself.
Year.
God damn it. You spend more than that on caviar.
More so now than maybe ever. Like, transparently, like, because a lot of those people would at least try to hide how much money they were siphoning from people. And now it's like, well, you can really dig it up.
That's
easy.
Why we're going to have an offshore podcast very soon coming at you from a fucking oil rig
from
in the middle
West.
Of the Pacific.
You're going to annex that final island that's like way over to the left.
I swear to God, I'm going to see an accountant this year. If he recommends it, I'll totally do it. Why did he let me get away with it?
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
But let's talk about something really sexy. Johnny Tremaine.
Johnny Tremaine. But I do like... I wish this was explored a little more, and I bet it probably is if in some deleted scene, should they exist, that Bart ends up... I like that that beef story, that Bart does find an interest in school by Marge laser-focusing in on things he might be interested in.
Well, I do
Johnny
think...
Tremaine, a story about a boy with a deformed hand. A deformed hand? Cool.
So homeschool is a joke and really just to keep your white children away from non-white children. Like, that's what homeschooling is for many people, but...
I'm sure it's for people who want to keep them focused on educational aspects, but part of school is a social
so
aspect, and denying your child the social aspect probably isn't very good.
Yeah, they don't really do a lot of homeschool jokes that we would see
no,
in, like, South Park
later. Well, because
later.
Homeschool jokes are really about Christian parents protecting their children, and I gotta say, the dude in it was probably a dick, but I did love this story that was on HBO's Inside. It was one of the HBO Brian Gumbel Sports Show.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a story of homeschooled kid who wants to compete in high school sports, but he just wants to attend for the sports and then go back home for homeschool. And the principal of the school is like, no, you don't get to, like, you don't want to go to our school, then don't go to our school. We don't owe you the sports program and only that. Like, fuck off. Like, I like that.
I just think it does say something. I think it says something more about education.
When a teacher can laser focus on one student,
and then that's very hard. I'm not giving teachers any shit, but idea that
like you hand 40 children to a teacher and like babysit all of them.
Such an old man's diagnosis on The Simpsons. It really is. But like, the idea that like Marge finds a way to make this classic book interesting to Bart, where like they show you there's an itchy and scratchy episode on, and he's not watching it because he's reading Johnny Tremaine.
Hundreds would die, but not the thing they died for. A man can stand up. Wow.
If you'd like to learn more about colonial times, we could take a field trip to Old Springfield Town.
Johnny Tremaine is a 1943 novel by Esther Forbes. I never read it, but
I want to feel like I read it, but I didn't read it because I wanted to and didn't retain any of it because that's how school works.
But I did watch the Disney film version of it as a kid, which it... In the story, he is deformed by... He is mentoring with a silversmith, and he accidentally gets silver on his palm, and it puts all his hand together, and so he cannot move his fingers together.
He can only salute,
and
baby.
And he is now... By being deformed, he is now useless, and he can't get a job.
But he's got an iron kung fu chop, or silver.
And because he can't get a job, he then falls in with a bunch of terrorists who are fighting the British.
Oh,
and he can...
Freedom fighters.
So Johnny Tremaine becomes kind of just this witness to revolutionary history. It's a way of teaching kids about the Revolutionary War through a young character who just happens to be there for the Boston Tea Party.
I remember like not being able to control myself falling asleep in history, whereas now I'm like fascinated by those aspects of history I couldn't be awake for because they weren't made interesting to me. If my mom at Bart's age told me she'd take me to the Colonial Village, I would kick and scream and not want to go because I had no opening or way of
wanting to care about that because no one provided me with that, but now I do, and I just wish someone got to me. And Marge got to Bart very fast.
When I was a kid, I didn't want to go to Epcot. I wanted to go to the Magic Kingdom.
I'm still there, actually.
I want to go to Epcot. No way. No.
We did miss the JFK Itchy and Scratchy, which is just a recreation of Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald.
I think it's a fucking critic joke.
I think it's a pretty bad joke.
There's not even a joke. It's just like we recreated this scene with Itchy and Scratchy.
Well, the joke is that Oliver Stone directing it. Itchy and Scratchy. We just put out JFK. But
this is probably the same year that Seinfeld had the extended JFK parody, like the second spitter.
It was a couple years ago.
Yeah,
all these comedy writers were like, now that we can parody
in
a
mid-air,
film,
mind you.
Now that we can parody a film, we can do jokes about, on television, one of the darkest chapters in American history.
That makes me think, when are the 9/11 jokes going to be totally fine? Because even Family Guy
close.
Was like, good thing I've got my JFK Pez dispenser, and it gets shot, and it's like, I've got my Bobby Kennedy Pez dispenser. And that was like 99.
I feel like we're close to it. Well, maybe another 10 years if we live that long. But
I do love this exchange with Homer talking to Lisa.
The darkest stuff.
Everyone likes Whacking Day, but I hate it. Is there something wrong with me?
Yes, honey.
Then what should I do?
Yes, honey.
Just squeeze your rage into a bitter little ball and release it at an appropriate time. Like that day I hit the referee with a whiskey bottle. Remember that?
Yeah.
When Daddy hit the referee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So Homer took the family to a baseball game, a football game, whatever, brought his own whiskey to drink out of, and got so drunk and angry, he threw the whiskey bottle at a referee. I assume there was some jail time or like a court thing or something.
It's just great.
Lisa's just like,
In turn, you can tell Lisa's uncomfortable, too.
But she's not. She's laughing. And back to
laughing along with him to be like,
I'm humoring you.
Laugh.
No, there's... Pause it. There's a sweet moment where Homer puts his head up against hers, and her hair gives way to Homer's head, and they're really connecting.
I think she's just kind of dealing with it.
No, she's laughing.
Homer. I think it's Homer thinking he's connecting with her, and she's just
to me. It just ties back with like this episode more so than any we've seen before. Has funny dialogue exchanges that the Simpsons don't normally dwell on very long. The Chalmers stuff for
from
sure
from being recorded together.
Maybe
that Homer Lisa thing did sound like
sounds
they
like
were
it.
Together.
That last like is very like they're in the same room. They have
the animators had a real field day animating Homer's Bruce Lee battle against the Saints.
So good, dude!
Great animation,
love it.
Yeah, it was exactly Bruce Lee from Enter the Dragon, his nunchuck sequence specifically.
And this is Jeffrey Lynch, who is like part of the second generation of super great directors. Mm. Yeah.
I wish the story of Bart developing an interest in history, because I wish it would happen to me.
When they get to Colonial Springfield.
Dude, Fort Sensible.
I love so the Fort good. Sensible story.
And how.
I love the idiot, which, as far as I can tell from IMDb, there is no uncredited, like, panicky idiot in the credits for the original Poseidon Adventure.
That's about a ship that capsizes, right?
Yes, it goes upside down and they have to escape. And it was the first of those, like, we cast 24 famous people in this movie.
To be on screen for 20 minutes apiece.
And half of them will live. And it's about being shocked when Kurt Russell dies or whoever. But there is someone, the closest to Panic Idiot in the credits are Falling Man and Injured Party Guest.
None of them are Richard Dreyfuss, though, right?
And this episode gets two. They are allowed one Barney is a drunk joke in this episode. And they
snakes,
do two.
Snakes everywhere!
Yeah. If Mike Reese even calls it out in the commentary, like, we already did that joke.
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to be a governor.
Yeah. But this is the Colonial time where Bart finally calls out
he realizes history is a fraud, man.
Yeah, dude. Because I thought this was going to be that episode where they really call Jedediah Springfield. That's way
far
away.
3 years.
This is planting that seed, though.
It really is.
This is Jedediah Springfield at the Battle of Ticonderoga. Next. And here he is killing a snake on the very first whacking day in 1775.
Hey, wait a minute. That was the same day he was at Ticonderoga. How could he be in two places at once?
Don't blow the whole jail. Get him out of here.
So clearly, at this point, the Hans Sprungfeld conspiracy is in place.
Yeah.
Like, some people know about Hans Sprungfeld.
That's true.
Yeah.
It does fit with the Hans Sprungfeld story. It's actually pretty similar to that sniper almost about to shoot
Lisa.
Oh, you know,
God. I cannot wait till season 7. Jesus Christ.
Did you notice that security room was the same one at Wii Monsieur from the Super Bowl episode? It was animated the exact same way.
Those were the socks she came in with.
Exactly. Wow. It even had the shotguns on the wall.
I don't even know what this is.
And the Lord said, "Whack ye all the serpents which crawl on their bellies, and thy town shall be a beacon unto others."
That's... Lisa going to Reverend Lovejoy for answers and him making up Bible quotes.
Do not let moochers into thine hut. Yeah.
Greening did not like Lovejoy lying. He didn't think it was fair to make the representative of Christianity a liar.
I feel like he thought it was like selling out his character. Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
A little bit.
I like that snake in the Quickie Mart bit, too. That's a pretty funny bit. I like that.
It is, and I only noticed that, like, I've seen the brand Chippos with the hippopotamus.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really close to being like one of the few brands in The Simpsons that was consistent, because it's like
say,
a third appearance.
Not really a joke, but okay. Like, yeah. It's fine. You can do that.
What,
I
Chippos?
Think I saw that on Dr. Katz, too.
Chippos?
I think they made the same joke, yeah.
Well, I just like the idea of, like, you know, South Park has Snacky Poofs.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, just a lame, like, there's a lame snack name.
You got Duff, and that's about it. Yeah. But, like, Chippos, it appears in this season. Homer dives into them to hide when Sideshow Bob robs a quickie mark.
Mm-hmm.
Chippos.
And then the kids are singing in what seems like a direct reference to Empire of the Sun.
Really? Okay.
There are other films where kids are singing in a choir, but
I got more of a Home Alone vibe, but it's too early for that.
We hear Dan singing in Homer's falsetto.
Voice. You would have heard it during the break, but it's so long and great. Because I want to get to the more singing from this guy.
Yeah.
And now to open this year's festivities, here's our Grand Marshal, the Prophet of Love, Larry White.
Barry White.
No, it says here Larry White.
I know my own name.
Yeah? Well, we'll see.
Ladies and gentlemen, my unlimited love to y'all. It's truly an honor to be here at this... Hey, what is this all about anyway?
It's on a stage.
Oh, God, no. You people make me sick. Were
Death
they even
jingle.
Listening to me?
I don't think so.
Apologies are my least favorite jingle.
Death stalks you at every turn. There it is, death.
I wish I had a date for this. I forgot to write it down, but Barry White is dead.
In 2000s, this was as a suburban white child, this was my introduction to Barry White.
He died in 2003.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time ago.
But I had never, I had not heard his music before as a kid, at least as far as I knew. I definitely heard, the music I heard as a kid that were oldies ended at like 70. Mm-hmm. I listened to the oldie station all the time, but it was 50 to 70. Mm-hmm. 70s music was still new enough that it was kind of like where 90s music was a few years ago. Now 90s music is old enough.
It's oldies,
But
In The Way We Was, they had a fake Barry White song. Yeah. It was the Don't Be a Baby Lady, Just Be a Lady Baby song that they immediately go into Do the Hustle afterwards.
That's true. But this is the real Barry White singing, and he will sing his actual song
himself. His big hit.
An original one.
Can't Get Enough of Your Love?
But he was a...
Babe, that is part of the song. Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Babe.
He was a huge hit singer in the 70s.
Has an inimitable voice.
Impossibly good voice, And was a popular singer, tons of gold albums and platinum albums.
Yeah, if Darth Vader could sing.
And was still active touring until his death. Yeah. But he also, as animated in the show, was a large man who had health issues through his life.
Why can't we have old soul singers?
And so when you see a parody of a soul singer like wiping his brow with a whisk as he's singing, like, that's kind of a Barry White joke.
He breaks it to a sweat while singing. But we did miss one thing I want to point out, though. It's a thing I see in Simpsons memes all the time. The image, the single image of Homer in the giant foam cowboy hat with the air horn with his mouth open. It's intentionally off model just to be bizarre.
Yeah,
but it's just a shot of him and the air horn blaring.
Because I know the commentary probably doesn't mention that because the internet wasn't around when they recorded it. But yeah, that image of Homer in the giant foam cowboy hat, looking derpier than ever.
Yeah.
His mouth is just wide open, just standing there, and it holds for so
and
long.
I like watching it because it's supposed to look silly. It is supposed to look as the way it's being used.
And I like Lisa telling him, like, don't fall down to the level of the mob. If I'm with the mob, maybe I can direct them and put them in good directions.
Direction.
Like,
bring them down to the inside.
That's not what happens with mobs.
Yeah.
And I wish you did have the clip. It's one of my favorite sounds in the series of Homer's parking, and it's like, I didn't get until now the joke of, it just says $10. He says $10 per axle, meaning $20. So that's the joke. And then when the foreign man shows up in his crazy car.
Hooray!
I love that.
Hooray!
It's very Nick Riviera.
Well, it's said in such a way of just like, I love America.
Yeah.
I party with you.
I just wondered if he was, I don't know. I love the Mr. Plow episode. If it's, he got his car at the Put It In H dealership. Yeah. Of like the
crazy Vaclavs,
crazy Vaclavs car, countries that no longer exist cars.
Put in H.
Because if a car has that many axles, I don't know. But just a little more Barry White for me, because it's a really good way to use Barry White, because Bart figures out a way to lure all the snakes to the Simpsons'
home. The snakes
are
way too cartoony.
They're more than any of the animals, even like that first season episode where they're in the woods.
They did that to make the killing of them seem less cruel and awful. Like they're just kind of cartoony,
they look like they'd be in Garfield.
Yeah,
like, their eyes are huge, and the extreme violence of the mobsters like machine gunning those snakes, like, whoa.
Yeah,
they're
just,
and
like,
if you
torn
look,
apart.
It's not even a snake. It's like every animal that might have been in there is being killed. Like, they fall out.
And in the commentary, they thought that the bit where the snakes all go on Largo was making fun of Dave Merkin, who hadn't been hired yet. But Dave Merkin is a kind of like slightly effeminate dude.
He's a bald guy with long hair, if you can figure that out. Yeah.
Who would maybe say, ew, the bug.
Yeah.
But more Barry White, please. Oh.
So, if we put our stereo speakers on the ground and play something with a lot of bass, those snakes will be in here like Oprah and a big ham.
Good idea. Let's see. Bass. Tiny Tim, the Chipmunk's Greatest Hits, a castrato Christmas.
That is so great, and I never would have gotten that every one of those is the opposite of bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing I mean, okay, so fat shaming, Oprah shaming, whatever, but that is like the laziest married with children joke. Like, I'll be on me like Oprah on a baked ham.
It doesn't feel very Simpsons-y.
An Oprah fat joke is just like, and also, she just did their fucking show. Like, she promoted them.
And she's never been skinnier at this point.
Bob Woodward wrote the book
The Truth About Wacky Days. Yes.
And it is a fun.
Star of All the President's Men, Bob Woodward.
So, Bob, we chatted a little about this episode beforehand, that it is two stories that aren't seemingly close together at all and just kind of happen separate. But I like that they kind of come together by Bart and Lisa having a role reversal.
Yeah.
Bart has the idea and Lisa executes it, as opposed to all the previous times where Lisa had the idea and then Bart does it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that Bart takes charge. I really feel like the rise of Seinfeld inspired writers to make the plots meet, the A and the B plots meet together in some clever way. I feel like they weren't on board with that yet, but they would be. But I feel like that is what inspired every sitcom to kind of do the same thing.
Just in the last episode, like, those two stories don't meet at all. In fact, they need to be separate for them to exist.
Yeah. And I mean, we get one line from Skinner saying, oh, you've exhibited independent learning. Yeah. Come back to school. But that's the one thing that ties it into
the
B plot.
I love any joke that Homer has terrible record collections. Like, the Doodle Tower.
This thing's I believe.
He just only owns bad music, but...
Leo Sayer,
But there was a little more to the clip.
Oh, yes.
It was just Lisa. Because it's a great... Because I feel like this episode... They had to find this plot line, and then they found Barry White. Mm-hmm. Because they had to have bass to drive him to the house. They didn't write it around Barry White. They found the right celebrity guests to be themselves.
If they couldn't get Barry White, then they'd have to have just made up a Barry White type guy.
I guess.
They probably would have done that too.
I feel like I don't know, a lot of modern Simpsons criticism comes from celebrities playing themselves. And this is
what we would criticize now about the Simpsons of the celebrity saves the day.
It works for that is how snakes do things. You want to find the basiest guy.
I feel like they justify it in that he is a celebrity and he's like, what am I here for? Yeah. Like, and you know, James Woods would be there studying for a role. They would actually try to build some kind of justification into the actual script, not just like, oh, Steve Buscemi's here to say one thing.
And now we're going to do a bunch of parody of Steve Buscemi's work. They didn't do that with Barry White.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
Mr. White, can we borrow you for a minute?
Anything for a lady.
Wow.
I'm melting, by the way.
Do you have the thing where I love the sexy slither of
snake? Yeah, of course I do.
So he sings his song.
And I have the clip. We're not going to play it here. We'll close out with it. But it's the longest song.
And he's saying in the booth, they did not get an old recording. If you listen...
He changed the lyrics.
And if you listen to the original version, they are parodying it in the original version. He does have a little speech at the beginning about like, "Oh baby, I love you so much." Like,
he's every member of Boys to Men all the time.
But in the original song, like, he's backed up by his own vocals. Like, it's doubled up and tripled up vocals. This is just isolated vocals.
So much cowbell too.
With the so much cowbell.
I love cowbell.
But I love the camera turn around him. Like, that's good animation.
That's really good. It was crazy how much effort they put into filming Barry White, who.
Again, Jeffrey
Lynch.
I hadn't
heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of him, like, but he's filmed kind of glamorously throughout
the
there's
like a crane shot, too, like pulling away from him. Yeah.
No, Jeff Lynch said he did those because those are cliched music video tropes. So
but they're hard to animate. They look hard to animate in those shots. The whole world moves once, and then Barry moves almost in 180 degrees.
Yeah.
Really neat.
People of Springfield, Whacking Day is a sham. It was started in 1924 as an excuse to beat up the Irish.
Tis true. I took many a lump. But 'twas all in good fun.
Now, wait a minute. How can you people turn on snakes after all they've done for you?
I'm an old man. I hate everything but Matlock. Who is that now?
Mrs. Glick, who killed all those rats in your basement?
Snake did.
Ooh, not close.
And you like snakes, don't you, Barry White?
I love the sexy slither of a lady snake. Oh, baby.
Male snakes don't do anything for him, but a lady snake.
That sounds grudging. Matlock was a short runner. Matlock would appear and, I think, be murdered by old people in season 5.
So there's a lot of in here. One that should have been Cloris Leachman to say snake dead, but it wasn't.
And not dead.
She's still
I don't have to play the jingle.
She had a tweet recently that was like, "I fucking turned 93."
God, like, I love Cloris Leachman.
Never die, Cloris. but also the Irishman. I love that. So
he appears again.
That's the first appearance of the Irishman. Mm-hmm. He'll appear.
Fine job you did.
Not fine job you did of it too. But he is a leprechaun. He is an all green.
All in good fun.
He has a corncob pipe. Maybe this is different for people in, say, England, and our listeners in England, or in the UK in general. Racism against Irish in America just seems like, you can't be racist against the Irish. Well, who cares? Like,
my grandfather's from New York as an Italian, and, like, you know, he was the original, let's be racist towards that. So he's, like, real sensitive. He was real sensitive to, like, Italian slurs were like, man, they roll off my back.
Well, because
like somebody with a moist back.
And like, I think the point in America is that as long as your skin is white, you will eventually transcend race and be similar.
You can throw someone else under the bus. I always say I'm not that guy.
The last season of The Sopranos is about Italians being made honorary white people.
Yeah,
we'll never talk about being a separate culture again.
And so that's kind of what The Irish is about too. But I also like. There are many things in America that we think are long traditions, but were actually created more recently as an excuse to hate a group of people.
Oh, like the war on drugs.
Like a lot of things, yeah.
I got it.
Or like saying,
hey,
the Confederate flag, this is just the...
Heritage, not hate, Hank.
And you're just like, no, it got put up in the 60s as a protest against enforced civil rights.
Hey.
That's why it got put up.
I used to have my own water fountain.
Politics is an excellent segue to my next clip.
Oh, wait, the Matlock thing, too, though. I did check this. Matlock ran against them on Thursdays, so that's why it was specifically against Matlock.
Oh, it was like slandering the audience in the show.
They were mad at the elderly who weren't watching them. They were watching Matlock. So when Abe says, ooh, it's on right now, he's speaking in real time.
Oh, man,
it's
awesome.
On right now as you're watching the show.
That's great. I love
being
it.
Being mad at the elderly is like being mad at a talking cat. Yeah. You're not going to get anywhere. You won't reach them. But the politics segue I'll continue to use because I love the Mayor Quimby clip.
Oh, this is great.
Because he shows up earlier with like a bunch of pre-wax snakes.
Yes. We also missed Gentlemen, Start Your Whacking.
Start Your Whacking.
Yeah, like, all very sexualized.
And that was back before. Like, I knew the term whacking off.
I don't think I did at this point. I was young,
I knew the term jerking off, which is what we still use. But whacking off is how it was.
In my area, I heard jerking, not whacking.
This Quimby clip is almost up there for line of the show.
Hooray for snakes! Hooray for snakes!
Look at this, everyone. 12 dead snakes.
Boo!
I'm sick of you people. You're nothing but a pack of fickle mush heads.
He's right.
Give us hell, Quimby.
Yeah!
That turn is very much like a turn they would use later where he's talking about the spoiler in the crying game, yeah. And they boo him, and then he turns around, they're like, yay! Oh,
give us out, Quimby.
Makes me very happy.
And so then they have a cover to Andy Williams' classic Born Free.
Born Free.
Yeah. Oh, it's Andy Williams. I thought, yeah. It's not Sinatra?
And it's the Andy Williams version.
It's definitely not him.
Yeah,
either.
Free was sung by many people, but that was the Andy Williams version style they were emulating.
It wasn't fake Michael Jackson, was it?
I don't think it was Kip Lennon.
Yeah.
But that song was an Oscar-winning song from a 1966 film of the same name,
most boring
which no
film.
One remembered.
The most boring film I've ever seen in school. Watch Roar, the best movie made in the... Very real late 70s lions craze. It's Home Alone, but Macaulay Culkin is replaced by several lions, tigers, and jaguars
who
really rip the shit out of
actors.
Melanie Griffith's family. It's great.
Heaven, yeah.
It's great.
So there's a visual joke in this where it's basically like sperm swimming towards an egg. And
wow.
My friends and I giggled about this
Whoa.
A lot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I never got that.
The snake squiggling towards the sun is very much a sperm and egg
joke. Totally right, but that is... You're opening my eyes, man.
I saw Look Who's Talking, and Look Who's Talking Now starts with a joke about dog cum, so
that's
put that
right.
on for the family.
Yeah.
You know, every one of those movies starts
Danny
with
DeVito
someone ejaculating.
Yes,
I mean, seriously.
It does. The first one is Beach Boys and sperm swimming through a fallopian tube. I can't believe I'm just going to pause on fallopian tube. ta-da!
The best tubes.
I guess I've always used violence as a way of getting attention.
Yes! Yes, me too.
Hey, guess what? Nelson Muntz, Jimbo, Kearney, they're all locked in the basement from the beginning.
Great
it's a really good callback.
Yeah. We forget about them just as Skinner did.
Yeah. I don't have a good term for it, but like when I was a little kid, I would notice that The Simpsons would start... Their first act is meaningless towards the second and third.
And this is a very short first act.
Yeah, it's very short, but like they very rarely... This is like something I think a modern show would do post-credits.
Mm.
They would show the bullies hugging it out because they were still there.
Having breakthroughs. Yeah. I assume some writers went through therapy at this point.
So Skinner shows up in a very like... We got to end this episode and put you back where you were.
Yeah.
But it's earned by him remembering he never let them out.
Never let the children out.
And that he, as far as Skinner knows, they're dead.
How long has it been, I wonder? 2 days?
It seems weeks.
They imply that they could be dead.
Yeah.
I love the end of it.
Yeah.
Faster, Willie, faster. Now we give them the bikes. No one sues.
What if they're dead, sir?
Then we ride these bikes to Mexico. And freedom, Willie! Freedom!
Freedom! He'll ten you in at the first toll booth.
It's amazing. So one of two season four episodes in which the solution is going to Mexico.
Yes! Yeah. And that's a different Mexico... Musical outro.
Yeah, we don't have that. That's like a Simpsons theme dressed up in Mexican musical accompaniment. But the first one was South of the Border with a very Frank Sinatra-y
fake
Sinatra
song.
Fake Sinatra.
I didn't notice until this viewing. Kearney has stubble. Like, it is the first reference of Kearney is older than the rest of them.
Oh, my God. How is Kearney's child doing during all this?
I guess
sleep in a drawer.
I guess maybe he was with his mother at the time.
I hope so.
Yeah.
God,
Kearney,
I'm scared.
But Kearney, it was the first time they ever joked that he is much older than everyone else, though still in school. So... That was a funny ending to a much improved episode over the last one.
We had a few subpar. I mean, the clip show, you can't get anything out of that. Mm. The front was okay, kind of weak, but with some good jokes. So this is a strong episode with two strong stories that ended well. And it's
a useful guest star, a lot of great violent jokes.
I think it's all going to be grade A stuff until the season ends, too.
I think so, yeah. We're into the home stretch, though. I think we only have, in airing season four, I believe we only have two episodes left.
Yes. Yeah, Marge and Chains and the Krusty Comeback Special.
Oh. In production, we've got four episodes left, but we'll get into that when that time comes. But
God, I want to get to season five so bad.
You mentioned Krusty gets canceled. This is one of multiple celebrities they doubled up on. We're like, well, as long as you're here recording this guest appearance.
Say two more words.
Say two more words so we can say a ton of guest stars are in this next episode. So this is not the last time we will be hearing Barry White. I bet in that episode we'll play the death jingle like five times.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah,
God, there's so many deaths.
Hugh Hefner is still with us, I think.
I can think of at least two more.
He should die.
I don't know.
So this is this, with that slander, this has been Talking Simpsons. I've been your host, Bob Mackey. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for somethingawful.com and fandom.com every day. My other podcast is a classic gaming podcast called Retronauts. You can find it every Monday at retronauts.com, or just search for Retronauts in your MP3 player. And all these guys have been on it. We did a Pac-Man Christmas special a few weeks ago, or a month ago. We have a Simpsons one that probably just happened, I think. Yeah. So we talked about, we either will talk about or have talked about Bart versus the Space Mutants. In any case, it's going to happen soon, or will have happened previously.
It's pretty much a free Talking Simpsons episode. Guys, yes. Come on. Yeah. You got to donate to patreon.com/lasertime and patreon.com/retronauts. That would help. But patreon.com/lasertime does support the Laser Time Network in particular, which is, we're recording that on this turf now.
We wouldn't be able to pay for these mics and this room and this rent if it wasn't for
this hosting.
And all these Amiibo.
Those were gifts. Those were gifts.
I know.
But I have doubles. You can have the Diddy.
Ooh.
But I'm H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G on Twitter, and I write also for fandom. You can see my game work. But I just want to say, again, patreon.com/lasertime.
Thank you, buddy.
That's where Talking Simpsons Season 1 and the season wrap-ups are. We're getting close to a fourth season wrap-up. Bob and I have been chatting up some plans for it. I'm looking forward to it. And, again, all that support helps. Just $5 a month really, really helps. If every listener to this gave $5,000 a month, we'd be in real business. If every listener
we would
gave,
be the next president.
If every listener gave $5 a month, we'd be sitting pretty here.
Yeah.
But please, if you can.
There's eight hours of Simpsons-related podcasting you can listen to for just $5.
And so many other great extras.
Yeah, and a bunch of other stuff on Laser Time, lasertimepodcast.com. Laser Time, the topic-based show, where we've done mildly Simpsons-related things before. I think we used the Jay Sherman episode as a jumping off point for backdoor pilots.
Oh, I love that.
Pilots
one
that are introduced in the middle of other shows.
Two Married with Children spinoffs.
Unbelievable.
Dear Lord.
Matt LeBlanc. I don't know what executive he had pictures of, but they really tried to push a Matt LeBlanc Married with Children spinoff. But that and 302010 and Vigigame Apocalypse being our weekly video game show, and 302010 being our look back 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago in the past of that week. It's really cool because you can, if you listen to it once, and you'll usually be able to pinpoint exactly what you were doing during that time period, more so than like any point in school or your yearbook. What movie came out? What were you playing? What were you watching? You'll remember exactly where you were. It's real fun.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week with Marge Goes to Jail. See you then.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why can't get enough of your love, babe. Some things I can't get used to, no matter how I try. It's like the more you give, the more I want. And baby, that's no lie. Tell me, what can I say?
I'm here.
What am I gonna do? How should I feel?
Wow, infotainment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.